Hi there, church family. And if you're hearing the sound of my voice, we consider you to be a part of our family. Welcome to our weekly podcast worship service. I am Wayne Ivey, pastor of First Christian Conroe. It is good to have you with us. In a few minutes, we will begin worship, and I would encourage you to, if you have communion elements, to go ahead and get them. I would also encourage you at some point to perhaps make your giving online through our website. If not, you can send in a check to the church or drop it by. I know Mary Louise and I have finally gotten used to using this website to give. I want you now to clear your minds, get restful, and take a few moments to prepare to be in worship together.
Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving I'll be a prepare me. Lord, prepare me to be a sanctuary, pure and holy, tried and true, with thanksgiving. I'll be a
call to worship this morning will be responsive, and your response will be, "And we remember whose we are." Let's be in worship. Let's lift up a song to the one whose name is the Lord, and we remember whose we are. We've gathered to declare how awesome God is. We gather in spirit as we declare together voices from near and far, separated by space, but joined together. And we remember whose we are. Let us praise God who gives power and strength to God's own people. And we remember whose we are. Join me in prayer. Jubilant in our joy, God, we focus our energy on you and your saving grace. As we offer you our praise this morning, Renew in us the confidence that you are indeed in our midst, working in us through your Spirit. Thank you for waking us up this morning, opening our eyes, hopefully to see you, and hopefully our hearts to love you and love our sisters and brothers. We lift up to you, God, those on our hearts who are in need of your blessings, your grace, your gifts. Those who have paid the ultimate sacrifice for our nation, O God, we lift to you in prayer this Memorial Weekend. We continue to pray for the health workers and the decision makers and those in the ICUs battling the COVID-19 virus. We pray that you will guide them in their efforts. And we continue to pray to you, O God, in the manner that Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Remember how recently we've spoken of worship as a time of both giving and receiving gifts. We give gifts when we bring our offerings and tithes, and we receive gifts when we come around the holy table of communion together. You know, in a time which surely was even more disorienting to the early disciples than our current COVID-19 is to us, the resurrected Jesus continued to appear to his disciples for 40 days. His promise, as we hear in Acts 1:8, is that the disciples will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon them and us now, leading them and us to become witnesses to the ends of the earth. When we reach the time in worship when we're invited to give our gift, this text names our reality. We're given power as a gift from God. That is, first, we're given power as the free gift of the Spirit. And then we're directed to be witnesses of Jesus, not just in our own homes, our own congregation, or even our own community, but to the ends of the earth. beginning with Conroe, moving out through Montgomery County, all the way through the great state of Texas, then the United States, and to the ends of the earth. What actions will you and I take today to live out our identity as Christ witnesses? Let's recognize that we point the way to our actions with the offerings that we make. May our gifts be a sign of our intention to live as truth-telling witnesses with what we say and with what we do. Holy God, with our whole hearts, we offer these gifts as signals of our intention to live as to Jesus the Christ. Free us from selfishness, greed, and fear, so that we might take on ever greater roles as your beloved daughters and sons, telling the truth to a world that is dying to be resurrected. Amen. You know, the book of Acts, in all probability, was written as the second volume to Luke's gospel. It reintroduces the disciples just after Jesus ascends into heaven. This group had traveled with Jesus, had seen him crucified, and experienced the resurrected Christ over the weeks since that first Easter. Now the 11 were in an upper room back in Jerusalem along with others. Together, this group shared in life. It said they devoted themselves to prayer and becoming witnesses whose testimony would reach the ends of the earth. They are our models today. Today, for the communion, we know that is possible because of them. Even when we're separated in body because of this pandemic, we are one body in Jesus Christ. No better way to demonstrate our connection than to share in remembrance of Jesus. On the night that he was betrayed, Jesus took the Passover with those whom he loved so dearly. After the meal, once again, he asked blessing. He took the bread, he blessed it, he broke it, he passed it among them, telling them to eat, that this was his body broken for them. In that same way, after the meal, he took the prophet's cup, Elijah's cup of community and welcome. After blessing it, he passed it among them, telling them to drink all of it. This was the cup of a new covenant that would be sealed with his sacrifice. We come after those first disciples celebrating his words, "This do in remembrance of me." O God, bless this holy meal to the nourishment of our bodies and us to your continued service for Christ's sake. Amen.
Oh, how could it be that my God would welcome me into this mystery? Say, take this bread, take this wine. Now the sample made divine for any to receive. By your mercy we come to your table. By your grace you are making us faithful. Lord, we remember you, and remembrance leads us to worship. And as we worship you, our worship leads to communion. We respond to your invitation. See his body, his blood, know that he has overcome every trial we will face. None too lost to be saved, none too broken, all
The scripture lesson today is from these familiar words in 1 Corinthians 11. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it, and said, This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way also the cup, after supper, saying, This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you drink this, as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes again. Now we hear those words every week. Why do you think Paul said them right at that point in history to the church in Corinth? It's because they had already forgotten what that meal was supposed to be about. Listen to this passage that happens just right before the words I read from 11:23. Hear this. This is Paul talking to the church at Corinth. But in the following instructions, I do not commend you, because when you come together, it is not for better, but for the worse. For in the first place, when you assemble as a church, I hear there are divisions among you. And I partly believe it. For there must be factions among you in order that those who are genuine among you may be recognized. When you meet together, it is not the Lord's Supper that you eat. For in eating, each one goes ahead with his own meal, and one is hungry and another one is drunk. What? Do you not have houses to eat and drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What shall I say to you? Shall I commend you in this? No, I will not. Wow, what we have here, boys and girls, is an angry Apostle Paul. He was angry because the church had forgotten their roots, and it had only been a few years when these letters were written to them. It had only been maybe 20 years since Jesus' death and resurrection. They had already forgotten. They had no memory, or they wouldn't be doing things like they were. There is a real power in remembering. Let's just think about that for a little bit. I want you to think about an early memory that you have. Recall it to your mind in as much detail as you have. There, what were you thinking about? Was it a memory from your youth, a memory from perhaps your school days? Mine was from, the first thing I can remember was my 6th birthday. And I can remember that because not a good thing, a bad thing happened. I was having a 6th birthday in a park. And as we were leaving, and there were, I think there were four or five kids, my best friend Donnie was standing next to me, and we started to get into the car, and my hands were inside the door, and Donnie slammed the door on my finger, almost cut a finger off. Well, I can remember that birthday extremely well. I remember it not for the hurt that it caused me, but for the hurt that it caused Donnie, my best friend. He was just crying uncontrollably because he had slammed my finger in the car door. Remembering can be very powerful. Remembering sometimes adds meaning to the present moment. It's easy to get lost in this present moment, and when we can recall something in the past that relates to it, it can help us out. Remembering also helps us to establish identity. Those people in the church at Corinth had sort of lost their initial identity. They had gone back to the ways that they were before the risen Christ captured their imaginations and then took hold of their souls. How do you identify yourself? We are Christians. Remember that song, "They'll Know We Are Christians by Our Loves"? That is our primary identity. We belong to Jesus, and the memories that we make on that faith journey help establish that identity. And really, remembering also helps us to establish priority. It helps us to prioritize because we can remember things in an order, and the most important things, they take our memory and become far greater in it. Remember, there was a guy named Curly in a movie, and I don't remember the name of the movie. But anyway, I like what Curly said. He said, "The main thing is to keep the main thing the main thing." And remembering can help us do that. On Memorial Day, when we remember those who were lost in the battles that America has fought in, they help us to remember where we have come from, and hopefully they will help us to prioritize peace because the memories of battles are so terrible. Remembering can help to calm us in turbulent times. If we are in the middle of a great consternation, just quieting ourselves and remembering can help us get through really difficult times. But there are a couple of cautions about memory, aren't they? Memory may be faulty. It may be slanted by our prejudices or our fears. There are so many that look back to the 50s and 60s as really wonderful days in our country's history. When I look back to the 50s, I think of going to Sears and Roebuck with my grandfather. But one memory I have that stands out, I may have shared this with you in the past. If I have, feel free to take a nap for the next minute or two. But we went to Sears and Roebuck, and I was probably 7 or 8 years old, and I needed a drink of water, and I went to the water fountain, and there were two water fountains there side by side. One said whites only, and the other said colored. Well, being a 7-year-old, I thought it'd be pretty neat to take a drink of colored water. So I went up to the fountain that was marked coloreds only and began to take a drink, and my grandfather saw me. My grandfather was a rigid man, and he came and jerked me away and slapped me on the rear and said, "That's not for you. That's for colored people only." I got my first taste of racism right there. You know, I was raised in Lubbock in a time when it was literally across the tracks. Black folks lived on one side of town. Mexican folks lived kind of in the middle. And the white folks lived on the other side of town. It was a sinful way to live. Those were sinful times. And we have colored the memory of those times with our own prejudice. I am so glad that at last we are beginning to accept people who they are without regard to race or creed or color or national origin or who they love or anything else. It is time. Remembering can also be a substitute for action, can it not? When you need to take action, you can just sit down and have fond memories. Remember in the Harry Potter movies, Harry Potter discovers a mirror that he looked in, and he saw his parents in that mirror, and he saw the way things could have been with his parents who had died when he was a baby. But instead of it spurring him to action, he was in danger of sitting in front of that mirror forever, and Professor Dumbledore had to hide the mirror from him. Memories are powerful. Memories can move us to new actions, but they can also paralyze us. It's Memorial Weekend. I hope that you will let the memories of your past spur you on to loving each other even as Christ has loved us. Have a good day. God bless.
Unfold.